to the man who may or may not be my father. I was 21 when we first spoke. Not first met. Spoke. No, not because I didn't try. I remember being 14 and watching my grandmother's hands shuffle through a stack of old Polaroids, sun-bleached and yellow from nicotine. As we fumbled from picture to picture, I noticed a face, your face, and asked her who it was. Your father, she said. Your real one. Can you even imagine me standing in her kitchen, middle of the night, being stared at by cheap porcelain roosters, stumbling through a Coweta County phone book for a name that I should own by right? Can you imagine finding that name, your face red with heat? No, not anger. Not yet. Maybe love, but you don't know what love is, but you think you do, as a woman picks up the phone, asks your name, then hangs up. Takes you a couple times to catch the hint, but you learn. So you do what everyone else does to get rid of a problem. You bury it, hoping that the soil will break it down to the insignificant nothing that you want it to be. And there you are, 21, standing on a car lot in the middle of July, the time of year the heat hits the asphalt so hard that if you stand in one place too long, the soles of your Goodwill penny loafers stick to the ground like a rat half submerged in a glue trap. Your boss says you don't take orders. If you want to take orders, get a job at Longhorn's. So you do what got you the job in the first place. You talk. Yeah, the trunk has 14.8 cubic feet of space. In English, groceries. Lots of groceries. Yeah, this baby has 580 horsepower. In English, women. Lots of women. And maybe you sell one. Maybe you don't. But one thing's for sure. The night comes down, and there you are, sitting in your office with a Coweta County phone book, calling people who just got done spending their day busting their ass to make copper wire or whatever, and they're sitting down to dinner with their kids who don't appreciate them and their wives who don't cheat on them. But think about it, and it's meatloaf night. And there they sit, utensils clutched in their hands and brought down like spears on the night's kill, and here you come to ask if they've thought about trading their piece of shit Chevy for something they can't afford. And when one says no in the nicest way he can, you ask again. The answer's still no, but this time with a fuck in front of it before he says, "Don't call back," and hangs up. But you don't take orders, so you write a note beside the number. Call back in a month. Then you trace your finger down the page, and you see a name. One you should know better than you do, and you remember your grandmother's hand resting between your shoulder blades, saying you don't need him. Yes, you remember that hand. The nails coated in chipped red lacquer, the knotted nub where she lost her pinky to the hydraulic press of a Toyota plant. The blue veins that wrapped around her wrist and knuckles, tying it all together like the belts of some mortal engine. And you see that name. And you don't need him. But you want him to know that. So you pick up the phone, and as you dial, something familiar comes over you. Heat. But this time, anger. Definitely anger. As he picks up, and the only thing that stumbles out of your mouth is a name. Your name. Then he curses as he walks into another room, swearing to a woman that it's nothing, damn it, nothing. Then silence. Listen, I got a wife and two kids. I'm not going to badmouth your mama, but you got around. You could be anybody's. Anybody's. Good luck. I mean it. And then you're 27, leaning on the railing of a bridge. Watching two people, maybe lovers, casting rocks across a frozen pond. And for a moment, you'd give anything, absolutely anything, to be the stone rolling off their fingertips, their hands holding, guiding, letting loose, then air, the rush of coolness, the ice cracking beneath you, falling, sinking as the water ripples like waves of light on crystal, deeper into that which shaped you, darker. Darker than earth, stillness, rest. Oh God, can you imagine?